January 10th, 2015, is the Watt from Pete Rose Show. Watt for Pedro show. Actually, my first show of the year, huh? So happy 2015. Last show I did was on New Year's. I think I was drinking. But oh yeah, we got a guest, good people, via the magic of the internet connection. East of the Rocky Mountains in Chicago, we got Rob Miller of Bloodshot Records.
How you doing? Hey. Yeah, it's, we got a heat wave going on here. It's up to 14 degrees today.
14! Whoa! What do we got going here? 59 degrees. We had a little rain this morning, which is not too common for here. We're in a big drought. So 14 degrees, so that's many degrees below freezing.
It is, but it's much more... It's much warmer than it was 2 days ago when it was like four below.
Is that with the, what do they call that, wind
that's
chill?
Not with the wind chill. No, okay. Wind chill was like 30 below.
Because of, what's that, Lake Michigan?
It was something we call an Alberta Clipper.
The Alberta.
all this cold air racing down from Canada.
That's right, because there's no mountains. There's this free pass from the North Pole.
You got it. It's 100 miles, a lot of nothing that's taller than a corn silo.
That's right. And then from the south, the Gulf of Mexico, that warm air, and that's why interesting Midwest weather.
Yeah, those little things we call tornadoes.
Right.
And stuff. Yeah.
People on the coast don't understand. They don't understand a lot of things. They don't understand Chicago is big shoulders. It's a big town. It is the big town if you're in the Midwest.
It absolutely is.
Coast people have no idea. It's trippy. I'm not just speaking for California, but over on the New York side, too, it's trippy how we're ignorant of that. Luckily, I tour. In fact, I was born in Virginia, but I was actually conceived in Chicago.
I remember that from the Langford episode.
That's right. That's right. Good people. I had John Langford on the show via the same kind of connection, and yeah, I related some stories. We started with John Coltrane doing Big Nick, and then Tiny Star by Sawako and Daisuke made it Tiny. We're gonna play a bunch of Bloodshot Records stuff. In fact, we did with. When John was on the show, a lot of his releases on your label, and then stuff that you, one of the many mics flowed me. And, you know, I grew up in Navy housing, so none of us had first names, so you don't have to worry about that. Look, Rob, can you remember your first music memory?
Yeah, it was, you know, like, it was Disney stuff, like the Country Bear Jamboree or Louis Prima singing in the Jungle Book when I was, you know, 6 or 7 or 8. I'm loving that stuff.
So somebody was playing your records, or was this off the radio?
No, stuff we had around the house that we'd go to the library and get.
Okay.
There wasn't a whole lot of music in my house growing up. My mother loved show tunes, which I couldn't stand. I didn't like any kind of music whatsoever.
And where is this and when is this?
I'm sorry?
Where is this and when is this?
In Detroit.
Where?
This would be in Detroit in, you know, early 70s.
Early 70s.
I was born in 65. So
by that time, Motown's in L.A.
Yeah. Well, it was, Detroit was, you know, we, all our great musical treasures by that point, we had kind of buried them and forgotten about them. Iggy, you know, the Stooges and the MC5 and P-Funk and all that were, you know, but by the time I got to high school, junior high and high school, people didn't even talk about them.
That was gone.
It was Detroit Rock City, you know, It was Floyd and Zeppelin and the Who and all that and
the Cobo Hall.
Nothing much beyond that.
What am I thinking Detroit of? Cobo Hall or something? That Kiss album, right? Coho.
Yeah, that's where I saw my first show. Alice Cooper with the Joe Perry Project opening up, and a dude behind me threw up on me, and I had to go buy a concert T-shirt.
Okay, so what about between hearing Bear Country Jamboree and getting puked on? what happened during that period there? Did you, you know, you're not buying show tunes, but you're buying records. You got buzz.
I was, but you know, I turned on the radio in Detroit. We had a radio station called WLLZ,
uh-huh.
It wasn't even a joke. It was that it stood for a whole lot of Led Zeppelin. And all the big hippie dudes and burnouts, we call them, they just scared the shit out of me. So I would turn on the radio and try and relate to what was going on in school, but it seemed like every time I turned on the radio, it would be Stairway to Heaven or Layla or something that would just go on forever. And it just bored me to tears. So I'd just go to the library and take out like George Carlin and Richard Pryor records and Bob Newhart and Monty Python. And,
so yeah, you like
just listening to comedy records.
Yeah, stand-up comedy. D. Boone turned me on to George Carlin. I'd never heard of him.
Yeah.
Did you get into Lenny Bruce? And in fact, Lenny Bruce had a lot of problems in Chicago, I think. But so classic rock was your nightmare.
Yeah, absolutely. It did not speak. I was really super bashful and you know, we had just moved from Detroit out to one of the suburbs and I didn't fit in, and it just didn't speak to anything that I was experiencing, and it just bored me to tears. So I would just, you know, read a lot and sit in my room and listen to comedy records.
Okay, here, let's listen to some poetry.
This is newness. Every little tawdry obstacle, glass wrapped and peculiar, glinting and clinking in a saint's falsetto. Only you don't know what to make of the sudden slippiness, the blind, white, awful, inaccessible slant. There's no getting up it by the words you know. No getting up by elephant or wheel or shoe. We have only come to look. You are too new to want the world in a glass hat.
Are you an entertainer? We grope in the gloom of this stale hired room, yeah. I'm a real performer. I'll swallow this rum and blow coke up your bum.
Get the money, don't leave anything behind. Just the pieces of your heart.
With something less than a whisper, than just a flicker of her eye, she could hold the whole room in her one dry palm, have them eating out of her mouth, and leave them hanging out to dry.
We leave tonight, straight after the show. Try for a while and get two cheap rooms. Get up early and go and go.
I'm on the road to Damascus again at 30,000 feet. I'm crying but I can't find a reason. Missing all my new friends that I'll never meet again.
Get the money. Don't leave anything. Just the pieces of your heart, the fragments of your mind.
I'm in a little trough today. Is this Lawrence or Columbia? I just can't tell. It's my midweek crisis, locked in my cell, in the rest job motel.
Get the money. Don't leave anything behind. Just some pieces of your heart, fragments of your mind.
He went down with the curtain to laughter and applause. He was certainly dead before he hit the floor. The only way to go, man, go. That's what he always said. all the bottles and the beds.
Get the money, don't leave anything behind. Just some pieces of your heart, some fragments of your mind.
are natural pearls. You're your mother's little pearl. Sterling silver, natural pearls. You are your father's only girl. Eat your mother's lunch and thank her. Don't stay up too late with strangers. Oh, natural pearl. Oh, natural pearl. Please don't leave our little world. Sounds of kicking feet break the surface of the silvery deep. Oh no. Oh no. Children, out you go. Sterling silver, natural pearl. You're your mother's little girl. Keep yourself away from danger. Hide your luminance from strangers. Oh, natural pearl. Oh, natural pearl. Hide and hear away from the world. Sterling silver, natural pearl.
Let him roll all over me. walking around talking down to myself for a fight. Yet another unknown in the famous Nashville night. The cold gray sky got the writer's block. Okay, I have the writer's block. The sky is just over it, ever is always in there. While I'm frozen between times, moaning the meantime blues. Stacks of old bills, the mounting molehills I dread. It's hard work keeping the roof off of your head. Dream away through the day job, straight home to pay my dues. Roll up my sleeves, have a go, and meet some meantime blues. Gibson a soul will hopefully hold us through winter. It's gonna get cold, girl. I'm going gold with you. Little work on the last verse, then I come down to dinner. Reheat a dream with some hell in the meantime blues. Ride it home in between. Find me home in a dream while I'm on in the meantime blues. After dinner and dishes, sit down and switch on the tea. The vein unfreezes as the chorus occurs to me. Rock a bird and coal until the coal begins to gleam. Every crushing blow is ever focusing a dream.
Thank you.
Why from Pedro Show. We heard New Year on Dartmoor, a Sylvia Plath poem, Karen Schumer reading. Then we heard Are You an Entertainer by John Langford and his Sadies. Danskable 7, Kyoka. Bit by Bub, Maeve Mills. He's got a new band, he just told me. I met him, Rob, he was playing bass for Chumbawamba.
Wow.
Yeah, Leeds guy. Great cat. Then Pigeons for Swan by This. That's a good band name. Pop Group's got a brand new song called Mad Truth. They're going to be playing here in a couple months. Sugar by Barrence Whitfield and the Savages. That's from your label there, Rob. Murdered by Death with Natural Pearl. They Don't Know by Lydia Lovelace. The Crystal Water Springs by Luke Winslow King. Meantime Blues by Corey Brannon. And finally, Prove the World Wrong by Ha Ha Tonka. Okay, so back to your musical journey. It was a rough one for you at first.
High school. Every Monday in school, like everyone would show up to school with their 3/4 length jersey T-shirts from whatever show they went to, and I remember being in shop class, and some dude came in and said, "Oh man, Leonard Skinner was in a plane crash. They're dead." And I looked up at him and said, "Who's he?" And then the guy like broke my project because I didn't know who Leonard Skinner was.
Wow. Yeah, not enough cred for shop. What shop? Metal? Wood?
Wood shop, yeah.
Wood, yeah. I had 3 hours electric shop for my last 3 years.
Yeah, I'd be making things like, cool door stops and
toilet paper
and stuff like that, and everyone else was making bongs.
toilet paper holder. I remember I made one in wood shop. I remember Mr. Bowman was my, this is junior high. And he held up both hands, and there's a couple fingers missing. He goes, "Today's lesson, safety class."
Yeah, Mr. Phillips, he had a finger missing.
Bandsaw rock, yeah. So
and he would run around and go, "You kids, stop making your marijuana pipes."
Actually, oh yeah, wooden ones too. So
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah.
Like this Barrence Whitfield pipe. It looks like a little George Washington.
Yeah. It's a Napoleon.
Napoleon? Okay. So, your reaction to this lack of culture at your school kind of pushed you in your direction music-wise, right?
Yeah, I just felt completely depressed. I thought that, man, this is it. This is what music. This is what popular culture is, and I got no place in it. It doesn't interest me at all. And then I think on Fridays or Saturday Night Live or something, I saw Devo and. A friend of mine's older sister started bringing home Sex Pistols records and stuff like that, and all of a sudden it was like I like this.
Sure,
and,
yeah.
And I remember seeing Talking Heads on Saturday Night Live and going into school on Monday, and I was really excited because I finally had something to talk about with these people, because every Monday they'd be like, "Oh, did you see who's on Saturday Night Live?" And it'd be somebody that I couldn't stand,
yeah.
Who I thought was really boring or something. I was like, "Hey, did you see those, Talking Heads guys?" And they were like, "Oh, they were new wave. That's faggot music, what are you, a faggot? You like that kind of stuff?" And they just spit on it. I was like, "Well, I can't fucking win,
No. But luckily, high school ended, finally.
Yes. Oh, thank God it did, yes.
And then from there, would you start, with Cabaret Metro, you start going to gigs?
Well, I was still in Michigan at that point, so I was then after that it was like the dam burst. It was
what was going on in there? Greektown, right? St. Andrews?
St. Andrews Hall, the Freezer Theater was where all the hardcore shows were. I saw the Minutemen at Clutch Cargo's.
Clutch Cargo's, right. Greystone.
Yeah.
There was some, the little Polish town, Hamtramck, Paychecks.
Yeah, Hamtramck, Paychecks.
Yeah. Okay, so you start going to these, this scene, these gigs.
Yeah, it was just, it was all of a sudden, this whole world opened up. You know, the Cramps and Gun Club and Black Flag and Circus.
Was there a club called City Club or something? I remember the first time.
Yeah, it was in the same place as Clutch Cargo's.
Okay, okay.
It changed its name somewhere in there.
That's right, because we played with Black Flag and Negative Approach.
I was there.
And that was his name, yeah. Yeah, okay. I think it was March of 83 or something.
That sounds about right.
Okay. So, this is a whole different crowd, right? It was a whole different feeling. You know, you like this music. You like this.
Yeah, well, it's just this sense of freedom that there's this whole other world out there. I mean, sure. I started listening to Jimmy Cliff and, you know, getting into jazz stuff. And I heard my first John Lee Hooker record. And it, you know, it's just this whole world that I was made aware of that wasn't just FM radio and not just what all these lunkheads in school were listening to. There was this whole other world that was incredibly exciting and interesting to me.
And pretty deep, yeah. It's hard to relate to people because they only think about the wild hair and crazy clothes. But a lot of these people in the scene here, too, I learned much deep music things and compared to the arena rock, shallow. You wouldn't want to do a belly flop into that swimming pool. I mean, so, okay. When do you make the move to Chicago?
I moved here Labor Day 1991.
Okay.
To ironically enough, get away from music.
Wow.
I ended up doing a lot of production, stage managing, production managing, sound, stuff like that, in and around Chicago, in Detroit and Flint and Ann Arbor and stuff. And I was at shows 4 or 5 nights a week, you know, first one in, last one out.
Sure, sure.
For, you know, for bands like Nirvana, Jane's Addiction, Jesus Jones, you know, stuff like that, Danzig, all Replacements. That whole kind of level, and then doing a lot of like metal festivals and stuff, and I was just completely fried. And if you're from the Midwest and you like living in a city, at that point you came to Chicago because Detroit was just dying on the vine. And I came here and had some friends here and was looking around and I was like, wow, you can walk down the streets and there's neighborhoods and there's clubs and there's stuff going on all the time and there's public transportation, and it just seemed like, you know, I didn't want to move to L.A. I didn't want to move to New York. And so I just, like, there's a huge Michigan expat community here.
Is there? Wow.
Yeah. It's like, wow. You can't swing a dead cat without hearing somebody from Detroit or Michigan.
Well, we like when we at the beginning of the show, I was saying it's the big town for the Midwest. I know my ma as a teenager grew up in Peoria, and her idea always was going to be Chicago, you know. Now, Peoria, it's not Detroit, but maybe kind of similar.
Yeah, you know, after high school got out, I couldn't get out of Detroit fast enough. I went out to the Bay Area for a couple of years, and it was great and beautiful and all that. But, you know, for me, for a Midwesterner, it was just, you know, no offense, it was just full of Californians, and it just felt kind of weird. And I ended up coming back, you know, back here.
There is a lot of Californians out here. You are right.
And that was great. That was a great couple of years. I mean, I saw Flipper and, you know.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Got to play with it.
Fang and, you know, early
Fang
incarnation
too.
Of the Melvins and that kind of stuff.
And the weather, it's a little cool, but probably warmer from what you're used to. Yeah, it's good to move around, I think. Young people, especially these days, aren't afraid to move around. So, 91, you come to Chicago. Hey, we're at the end of the first hour. We'll pick up on your adventure from there. We're at the end of the first hour of the January 10th, 2015 edition of the Watt for Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour two. January 10th, 2015 is the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
baby. Gonna have to leave this town.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. Start second hour off with John Langford and Sadie's doing Shipwreck. Then we had more of Barrence Whitfield and the Savages doing Turn Your Damper Down. Waterfalls from Jose Gonzalez and August Vermillion. Dreamin' Red by Murder by Death. Don't Stand at the Stove by Bobby Bear Jr.'s Young Criminal Starvation League. That's a name. Part of Your Life, Eiko Ishibashi with Mr. Jim O'Rourke. He was a Chicago guy.
Yeah.
And Time Washes Everything by Dirty Beaches. I think the very last Dirty Beaches song. Back here, Rob Miller at Bloodshot Records. So, 91, you moved to Chicago. And you start the label, what, 93? So
yeah, in the end of 93, yeah. Music's a pernicious thing that way. It was. You know,
what's that story?
Tried to get out of it for a couple of years, but then, you know, you just end up, so much going on here, I ended up going to so many clubs every night, and yeah, it just draws you back in.
But a kind of different level. Now you want to. Not just experience music, but put it out.
Yeah, well, I mostly at the time wanted something to distract me from my shitty day job of drywalling houses and painting, okay. You know, crappy apartments.
I didn't know that was going on.
Yeah, I mean, that was, you know, how the bills got paid. And,
sure.
We just thought we would put out this compilation of local bands. Mostly as a way to, like I said, entertain ourselves. It was music we were seeing that was being ignored by everyone else that was happening in town at the time. And
first off, what about the name?
You look in the mirror one morning and it just comes to you.
Okay.
And a couple
now, did you have an idea for the label? Did you have an idea for the label to have a sound?
Yeah, oh yeah.
You did?
Well, at the time, Chicago was getting kind of overrun with A&R people. A lot of people were calling it the next Seattle because there was, you know, Liz Phair and the Smashing Pumpkins and Urge Overkill. And stuff like that. And so there was A&R people just trolling the city, signing anyone with a guitar. And there was this whole underground happening of people who were taking roots music and kind of fucking it up in their own way. And we thought no one was paying any attention to this. And there was 15, 20 bands that we put together in pretty short order and thought, let's just put them on a compilation.
And the first idea was a comp. And when me and D. Boone started label, that's the first thing we did was a comp.
Yeah, and that was the way that all these bands first got their music out there.
Okay. And so what happened was you became a fan, you're going to the gigs, and then, hey, you became an A&R guy but for your own label. Or am I wrong?
Yeah, no, we were all kind of the same age, and
yeah.
We were all the bands were in the good clubs the same way, and it was kind of just a logical extension of what happened when I was going to all these clubs when I was a teenager and stuff, and seeing band labels like SST and Discord and Touch and Go, and just, you know, you would see the opening band hanging out in the crowd, and it was a very egalitarian populist kind of a vibe, and
yeah.
You know, we didn't try to start a label necessarily. We were just trying to document what was happening in the city at that time. And as far as like the sound, it was,
yeah,
you know, it was stuff that interested me, you know, when hardcore got a little tiresome, which was pretty quickly. You know, there were bands like X and the Panther Burns and Gun Club,
sure.
And Tex and the Horseheads. And,
oh, that's what you meant by roots.
Yeah,
Cramps.
So they were like doing all this stuff, and I was always really interested in that. And then this kind of seemed like their logical
childs. Here, let's hear some more. You know, Jelly. Speaking of hardcore, Jella just sent me a bunch of alternative tentacle stuff that's brand new. In fact, his Gitmo School of Medicine, as far as his, let's listen to this right now.
Burn the army, we saw the plan. Another U.S. fight, God is at work again. Just like it be enough, do you think of
Juan from Pedro show. Yeah, Stuff Jelly sent me here. The Dicks with Nobody Asked Me. Imaginary People with Wild Vile Flesh. Burned by Itchy O. New Questions by The Frantics. Raw Deal by Arnoldcore. Yeah, it's Arnoldcore. All the songs are titles of Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. The World Inferno, Friendship Society with Taken Down a Peg. I Help Out the Squatters in the Subway. That's the title of the song. And Road Rage by Jella Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine. Here with Rob Miller talking about the Bloodshot story. Okay, the first record was a comp. What was the next record?
The second record was a comp as well. It was
okay.
We did the first one was just all Chicago artists, and when we started sending it around with absolutely zero expectation of anyone giving a shit, all of a sudden writers and bands from all over the country started saying, well, you know, we've got these kinds of bands happening in our city too. So we started reaching out to like the old 97s in Dallas and some folks in L.A. and the Bay Area and a couple bands from New York and a couple from St. Louis. And the second album, Hellbent, came together real fast, another compilation, and kind of put our name out there on a national level as being the label that is doing this kind of roots-oriented stuff.
And it was a big surprise. You didn't know.
It's still a big surprise.
Still a big surprise. We're talking 20 years ago, more than 20 years. Wow.
Yeah.
You were reaching out.
And then shortly after that, we did the first Old 97s record and the first Waco Brothers record with Langford.
Yeah.
And we went to CMJ that year, and they wouldn't take our band, the CMJ Music Festival in New York. They wouldn't take our band, so we just had a friend who had a friend who had a friend who let us use his bar on the Lower East Side, and we just had a day party, and all these bands played, and at some point I walked outside, and there was a huge line down the block, and I was like, Jesus Christ, we went beyond it something here. And there was Greil Marcus and Robert Christgau, these two longtime big writers were standing in line, asking if I could get them in, and, you know, it was and since then, it's been kind of an ongoing surprise. The whole
Bob gave you a B+. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, January 10th, 2015 edition. Wofford Pedro shows Rob Miller, Bloodshot Records here. Hold tight, people, for hour three. January 10th, 2015, it's the third hour of the Wofford Pedro show. Thank you.
place. I know your love is true. I can tell it by the way that you fall on my knees, baby. Raise up my head. I take a bullet for you. I love you. Can you understand? Whoa! She much sweeter than diamond or sugar. She's got the finest stuff. Thank you.
Walk for Pedro, start off the third hour by first doing a bunch of talking without the machine being on record. So at least you people don't have to hear it the second time like poor Rob does. And the blue Seahorse by Allegheny Whitefish was Tom and Tobacco. Started us off, then Solitary One, Murder by Death. As I had said before, that's the most recent Bloodshot release. In fact, it's not out until next month, so you people are getting sneak preview. Edward Scissors Hands by Dancing Rock Queens. That's a bad name. Domino.
That just rolls off the
top. Yeah, I know. You know, Dancing Rock Queens. Yeah, okay. Domino Sugar by Luke Winslow King. Yeah, that's a Bloodshot artist, right?
Yep, yeah. New Orleans guy.
New Orleans guy, right. Okay, good looking man. The Circuitous Dan Shea with Fake Ass Punk. And I, Pointy Bracket, Pointing to the Right, Dive by Black at Night by Black Helicopter. Stumble Bum Talk, fuck, sorry. Selfish Emotion, Labor Camp, that's where I belong. The Algebra of Need by Sterile Jets. And finally, Little Interim, brand new from Howie Reeve. He's mixing a B-side of something we did together, the two bass thing. On with Rob Miller here from Bloodshot Records. We're talking about evolution from compilations to albums by whole artists and blowing out the doors in uninvited New York City festival CMJ crap.
Well, I mean, yeah, that mentality of, you know, I think that was something I learned in the punk scene, was if someone was saying no, you can't play here, then we would just go find somewhere where we could.
Absolute.
And right. That happened at South by Southwest when we first started going down there, and this year is our 20th anniversary party at a day party at a place called Yard Dog Gallery.
Uh-huh.
Where, yeah, they wouldn't let our bands in, so we just started doing this day party.
Not have
you know,
to have
it was just that ethic you learned back then of find a way. You know, if someone tells you not to do something, then there must be a reason, and you should find a reason how to do it.
Right. There's a pop group song called Where There's a Will, and one of the lines is, the way out is through the door. How come nobody uses it? great line. You weren't well-worn grooves. You were into making your own path and letting the band speak for themselves by doing that. That's why I asked you if there was a sound.
To me, it all makes sense. I can tie it all together, but I've got a pretty, you know, broad and bizarre record collection. So I can hear how it all ties together. You know, not everyone has, you know, Peggy Lee records next to Misfits records in their collection, next to records next to Minutemen records, you know. So I sonically hear how people are taking, you know, American roots forms and doing weird things with them, or updating them, or filtering them through their experiences and coming up with something new. You know, we always get shit about Langford, you know, how dare this guy from Wales do country music. And to me, it's like that's how stuff gets interesting, is when an outsider comes in and doesn't really know the rule book and just does things intuitively and organically, and then at the end of the day, you come up with something completely different and interesting.
You know about this Nick Tosh's book, talking about the country?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
And started off as minstrel and shit.
And everyone just accepts that Hank Williams and Johnny Cash and Loretta Lynn, people like that, were you know, they're pillars, they're giant cornerstones of the form of music. But at the time, they were, you know, getting kicked off the Opry or not allowed to do this, or everyone hated the way Johnny Cash's guitar player played. You know, he wasn't good enough. But now, that's part of the history. So it's like that's where the interesting stuff happens to me, is these people who are kind of just working intuitively and organically and not really paying attention to what, you know, self-described arbiters of authenticity are shoving down our throats.
Self-described arbiters, yeah.
Self-appointed.
Fuck these. Self-appointed. Yeah, self-appointed arbiters.
Yeah. You know, because people will always be like, early on when we start putting out like Robbie Folks records or Nico Case records, people were like, oh, that doesn't sound like a Bloodshot record. And it was like they wanted to put our, what we were doing into like a jar and put a label on it and put it up on a shelf. And I was like, that's the same stuff I was trying to get away from, you know, earlier.
In high school, orthodoxy. Let's hear some more music.
Yeah.
Music.
It's like the orthodoxy of high school all of a sudden got translated into the orthodoxy of hardcore. Like, that, you know, like guys were giving me shit for listening to Jimmy Cliff records.
And then country orthodoxy. All this orthodoxy. Exactly. Let's listen. Let's breathe deep and listen to some music here.
to camp. Race horse with winter song. Quick as you can. Run, go for it. Quick as you can. Race horse with winter song. Quick as you can. blink us on, quick as you can. One, go for it.
Yeah. sidewalk, tune through the struggling throng. Gotta find a place to hold up, need a layer that's cool and calm. Struggling through the whispering city, seems like no one heeds my cry. Shadows come creeping through the twilight, don't care if I live or die.
For Pedro show last music we had Doc Shock from Atomic Serpents, brand new album by them cats, Plutonium Farmers with Outsiders in All, Brother Sister Daughter, Run Go For It, Deeper D, Zero Dynamo, Citrus Minor by Lemon Limes, Enemy Gospel 1 by the Orange Disaster, and finally Whispering City Warblers. That's Jay Massey's brother Mike, the other Mike.
So many Mikes out there.
Yeah, on the show right now is Rob Miller, Bloodshot Records. Really good philosophy. I like what the label's about. If you had to give advice to somebody about the music record, what would you say? What would you give them?
Proceed with mulish determination.
Mulish.
Yes.
That was a good band.
And, you know, Do you remember that band, Mule? Learn as much as you can every aspect of the business. Because if you're in a band, you want to know every possible way that a promoter or a club or how someone is going to try and screw you over or take advantage of you. Okay. Do everything on your own terms.
Okay.
You know, don't let anyone... That's why we stayed the size we are, so that we can keep as much control as we can. We didn't want to sell off parts of it or get really big and have bands have to go through... like focus groups or, you know, anything like that. We want them to have as much freedom as possible, and we want to keep that freedom in our hands as well.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah.
And that's what we've been doing, and 20 years later, it's like people are patting us on the back, and it's amazing and humbling, but, you know, next week we've got a couple European tours I got to start dealing with, and we got to start dealing with South By. It's like you keep your head down, and you keep plugging away, and then...
Okay, you won't get a pat. You won't get a pat on the back from Watt. You won't get a pat on the head, but you will get big, sweaty bear hug.
Oh, I'll take it.
You know, I love what you're doing, and keep on keeping on. It's been really an honor to have you on the show, Rob.
No, the honor has been all mine, sir.
Respect. Okay. Good people. It's been January 10th, 2015. This is Watt for Pedro Show. Great honor for me to have Rob Miller with Bloodshot Records. Keep on letting that freak flag fly. This is beautiful. And everybody out there, keep your powder dry.